Amen. Thank you, Brother Ron. Thank you, praise team. Appreciate that. Our help comes from the Lord. Always, you can count on Him. He's faithful, true, and always able to come. You can totally depend upon Him. So good to see you in church today. And like Brother Ron said, if you did fill out a visitor's card, we appreciate you being here. Just drop that in the offering as it goes by. Give us a record of your visit. But if you're regular, it's always great to see church family, and trust you had a great week. And that God bless and continue to guide and direct in your life. A few things that we need to pray for as we come into His house of worship today. One is Ann Vanover had asked us to pray for her daughter-in-law, Terry. So we're praying for Terry. She has some kidney stones, so pray for her if you would. And then Randy Yo's mother, Marilyn Yo, we're praying for her. Found out she has cancer. She's going to be having surgery coming up here in April, so we're praying for her. Steve Schramm in our church family was to have surgery last Wednesday. He was looking forward to getting in and having that, but had a little bit of complication this week. I guess he wasn't able to do the surgery, and then I understand he took a fall on Thursday morning. So anyway, there's a lot going on with Steve and Velda, so pray for the Schramms. I know he would be here if he could. I don't think he's in the house today, but anyway, pray for Steve and Velda Schramm, if you would keep them on the prayer list. Warren Miller had surgery on his shoulder that he broke on here just recently. Had a shoulder surgery on Friday, so he's in recovery mode. And my guess would be Warren's parked in front of the chair watching March Madness. And that I see two of our Michigan teams made it into the Sweet 16, so I can tell you that's what Warren's probably zoned in on. But continue to pray for Bob Wilcox, to also at home. And then Linda, back here, raise your hand if you would. Back here, Linda Wassman. And this sweet lady, she's going to have a heart procedure done on Friday of this week. We're praying for her and her health. And many of you may not know it, but for years and years, several years, I don't know how many, seems like a long time, she cooked meals for the deacons and every month. And great cook and did a great job. And we're praying for her as she goes in to have some work done on this Friday. So gentlemen, if you'll come. Also, as they're coming, continue to pray for our country, for our leader, for our nation, and for Israel. Continue to pray for all that's going on in the Middle East there, that God would have His plan unfold. I'm sure it will. And that we just need to continue to pray for our leaders that and our military that are engaged in that conflict in the Middle East. This is Thomas and Kanika Tucker. They've been in our church before. They're one of our veteran missionary families and serving the Lord in Tyre. They can report back to the church on how things are going. So just continue to pray for the work that they're doing there. Like I said, they're longtime veteran missionaries. We've supported them for many, many years. So let's go to the Lord in prayer today, if you would. Heavenly Father, God, today we love You. We thank You for the opportunity we have to come into Your house to worship You today. And God, we know that You're always there. We can always count on You. And God, You're ever present in our lives. And we can totally trust and lean upon You for all things. And God, we thank You for Your blessings this week. God, we do lift these up in prayer today. Be with Terry Vanover, Paul's wife, that you'll be with her. And the challenges that she's having with her health. Be with Marilyn Yo and the upcoming surgery that she's going to be having. God, we do pray for Steve and Velda. Have Your hand upon them. We pray Steve will be able to get that surgery rescheduled, be with him and their family as some challenges that they're trying to work their way through. Be with Warren Miller. Thank You for the successful surgery. Be with his recovery now at home. Hope he'll be able to be back with us here soon in the congregation. Be with our shut-ins all across the church family, and they would be here if they could. Be with Brother Bob Wilcox and his health, and God, just have Your healing hand upon him. And then be with Linda Wassman as she goes in this Friday to have that heart procedure done. God, everything will go well, and they'll be able to accomplish what their desire is to get things taken care of better for her, and that she'll be able to see better days going forward. So God, thank You for Your blessings. Pray for our country today. Pray for our military that are in harm's way. And God, put a hedge of protection about them. Keep them safe. Watch over them. And God, be with all those that the challenges that are going on in the Middle East, around the world. And God, just thank You for our leadership in America. And just thank You for all that You're doing in the lives and through people today, that we can totally trust You and lean upon You, thanking You for Your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you, guys. All right. They're going to pass the offering plates, and as they do that, for Children's Church, they're free to make their way to Children's Church and head out to one of the doors there and follow the workers, and they'll be headed that way. If you have your Bible this morning, we're going to be in the Gospel of John, John's Gospel, and I want to share a couple things with you while you're turning there in your Bible. We're going to be in John chapter 15 this morning. And if you don't have a Bible, there's a pew Bible there in front of you. You're welcome to take that. And if you need a Bible, you're welcome to take that Bible home with you and keep it as a gift from our church family to you. So I encourage you to always stay in your Bible and read it and use any opportunity that you have. Let me just share with you, this is always, I think, one of the best times of the year, one of the exciting times of the year, because it's that time of the year that we start focusing on Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday coming up. Palm Sunday is next Sunday on March the 29th, and look forward to that. Also on Palm Sunday this year, we'll be serving the Lord's Supper in the morning service, and so I want to encourage you to be here to be able to partake in that. We look forward to that. And then the following Sunday will be Easter Sunday. And you have an insert there in your bulletin today on Easter Sunday. They're going to have a special children's service and that. And so then they're going to have an Easter egg hunt after the morning service. But also on Easter morning, we're going to have a sunrise breakfast. And that, if you're not aware of it, sunrise is at 7:39. Supposed to be. That's, at least that's what the Weather Channel's saying. 7:39. But we're going to have a breakfast on Easter Sunday morning at 8:30 in the gym. And so next Sunday when you come, there'll be a sign up at the Welcome Center. We'll just need you to sign up so they'll know. Brother Rick Briggs and some of his family and whoever is going to be helping him said they would head that up. So we're going to have a Easter morning sunrise breakfast. Now, really technically, quote unquote, won't be sunrise. If it was sunrise, you got to get up a lot earlier. But we thought by the time the cooks got here, cooked the food, ate breakfast around 8:30. Sunday school's at 9:30. Somebody asked me that earlier. We're going to have Sunday school on Easter. Yes, we are. And there'll be Sunday school then at 9:30 in the morning worship service. On Easter, we don't have an Easter, that evening service on Easter Sunday, but we will that morning. So if you already heard the menu, it's going to be pancakes and sausage. I don't know if they're going to throw eggs in there, orange juice, coffee, or whatever. And that, so there'll be a breakfast at 8:30, and that if you want to come, then just if you can sign the sign-up sheet next week, give us a kind of a head count, and so we know how many to plan for and anticipate for that. So in your Bible there in the Gospel of John, you know, as I said, this is the time of the year that I think it's one of those most special times of the year because of Easter being the celebration of the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we think about all that went on, some of the things that Jesus tried to do before he went to the cross of Calvary, he taught some great lessons. He gave some great principles. Same thing we learned about Peter this morning in Sunday school. We were in 2 Peter chapter 1, and when Peter wrote 2 Peter, he knew that he was near the end of his life. We knew that he was getting ready to lay this tabernacle down, the way he worded it, and life was getting ready to come to a close. And little did we know at that time, that's when Nero's persecution broke out, and Peter, not long after he wrote 1 and 2 Peter, suffered martyrdom under the hands of Nero during that time in the first century. But Jesus, prior to Calvary and going on to Calvary and then giving his very life there, paying his life on Calvary for our sin debt, and then being buried and 3 days arose from the grave, he left us with certain instructions and things along the way. And I titled the sermon today, Living Your Best Life Now. Living Your Best Life Now. Now, let me ask you this question today. How many of you, now think back. Maybe you don't know the date, the time, or the hour, but how many of you remember the day or the time or the place or whatever it went on that you got saved, that you knew the Lord? You remember that time in your life, okay? I want you to think about that, because from that day, whatever day that was in your life, going forward, every day could be your best day of your life going forward. Why? It's because in John chapter 15, Jesus taught some great principles here. And we've already studied this chapter in the Wednesday night Bible study. And that because all the letters that are in John chapter 15 are red letter. But the verse I want you to see is in verse 5. And here's why I titled the message today, Living Your Best Life Now. Because Jesus taught in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches, and he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Think about that. I am the vine, ye are the branches, and he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. What Jesus was doing here, he was really on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he began to teach some Bible principles here that I think became very, very important for you and I to understand. And he simply gives us the illustration that I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, he says, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. So I would say to you today that based on the principles that he's teaching here, that living your best life gives you the opportunity. The day you met the Lord Jesus Christ is the day that you begin to live your very best life in Christ. He went on to say, look at it in verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and shall be done unto you. And herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love, and if ye keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And this is my commandment, ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Jesus here in the Garden of Gethsemane, and as he knows that Calvary is just around the corner, he knows the crucifixion is drawing near. And a lot of things that he began to part and to give us biblical truths on, he went on in that chapter to talk about the believer, the person that is saved, and our relationship in this world. He then also gave the believer assurance of how important the Holy Spirit would be, that once he is removed, once Christ is crucified, buried, and risen again and taken away, that the Holy Spirit is going to play now a major role in the life of the believer. You know, when you think about it, many people measure the fruitfulness of their lives by sometimes maybe the quantity of their activities that they do, but this does not necessarily give a true picture of the quality of their lives. And when you think about it, who we are is more important than what we do. And so you look at it here. So how do you measure the fruitfulness? Because Jesus talks a lot in here about fruitfulness, about bearing fruit, about being attached to the vine, and ye are the branches, and staying connected to Christ. And I would say today, the main message, if you think about it today, our best life, no matter where you're at in life, whether you be young as a teenager, and if you're saved and know Christ as your Savior, today is the best day of your life. No matter where you're at, even as a senior citizen or anywhere in the middle in those middle, you're living your best life today. Why? Not because of what we do, not because of the activities we're engaged in, not because it's something fun that you're maybe engaged in. Your best day that you're living right now is because you decided to make a decision to attach your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're living your best life right now. When you think about it, the best life that you have is that every day that you can have the opportunity to serve Him. And here he talks about God desires for each one of us as believers to bear fruit. And if you're connected to the true vine, you will be a fruit-bearing Christian. And here Jesus gives us essential insight into the matter of bearing fruit. Number one, you got to look at He is the vine. We as believers, we are the branches. So by that, what condition is necessary for the branch to bear fruit? The branch must abide on the vine. You got to remain in your relationship with Christ. You got to groom that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to anchor yourself in Him and walk with Him daily by His side, realizing here that why does the branch need the vine? You know, it's interesting that I have a tree in my front yard that I was getting ready to cut down, but God, and through Mother Nature or whatever, decided to do me a favor, and in one of those windstorms, took it down for me. And one of the things I noticed that when it does that, it was something I wanted out of the way, saved me a little bit of work of getting it down, but now I got to cut it all up. But really to realize that in the tree, as long as the tree is anchored in the ground, as long as its roots are deeply rooted in the ground, it is nourished by the nourishment of the soil and the water and being fed, and then it stays strong and nurtured. And so Jesus gives the illustration that you and I need to stay anchored to Christ. Your best days are right now, no matter where you're at in your Christian life, because you made that decision to anchor your life in Christ. So what does it mean here to abide? It talks about here, and Brother Ron has a song that the praise team sings, talks about abiding in Christ, remaining in Christ. And without abiding in Christ, I want you to see this in verse 5, if you do not abide in Christ, he says there, for without me, in verse 5, at the end of that verse, ye can do nothing. So your ability to grow, your ability to produce fruit, your ability to be nurtured, your ability to stay healthy in your relationship with Christ is to be anchored to Him. In John chapter 15 here in verse, notice in verse 8 and also then down in verse 16 that God is glorified when you and I bear much fruit. To bear fruit would indicate that we are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard somebody say one time, you know, if they were to bring you in a court of law and to examine the evidence and that and put you on trial for your faith in Christ, would there be enough evidence to convict you that you are a believer, you're connected to the vine, you're connected to Christ? So God chose us. We did not choose Him. And God ordained us that we should go forth and bear fruit and that this fruit would remain. By bearing fruit as a disciple and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, then God says that He answers our prayers. Let me show you something, if you will, talking about bearing fruit in Galatians chapter 5, that as you walk with Him and fellowship with Him and you stay anchored to Christ and the vine, I am the vine, you are the branches, and you abide in Him, if you'll do so, it gives the Holy Spirit a chance to be able to develop within you and I fruit of the Holy Spirit. And here's how Paul put it in Galatians 5 and verse 22. And this is our Christian character that can be produced in the Christian and the believer as you stay attached to Christ, stay attached to the vine, as the branches stay attached to the main vine, the Lord Jesus said. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit there, is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith, meekness and temperance. In verse 23, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. So you think about here love, the sacrificial love, and you're getting ready to see as we think about as we go into Palm Sunday, no greater love than this, than the Lord Jesus Christ laying down his life for those that would just trust Him and believe in Him and accept Him as their personal Lord and Savior. A sacrificial love. He talks about here one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy or happiness. Another fruit of the Spirit is peace. And when I look at peace, that's an inner calm that the Lord can give you, the Holy Spirit can give you, that even when things around you are stirred up, and even when challenges are around you, and the challenges of life, you can still have an inner peace that He gives because it's a fruit of the Spirit. He also gives, as a fruit of the Spirit here, long-suffering or patience. He gives gentleness, which is kindness. He gives goodness, which is really being good versus evil. And my, how we need that today. You know, Jesus gave us the principle that as believers and as the branch is connected to the vine, that you are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. One of the things I'm praying for, I don't know about you, I don't know what your prayers are around what's going on in the Middle East, But I'm praying right now that God, you know, some unusual things are happening overseas in the Middle East. You need to pray for safety for our military. But I'm just praying that the gospel doors will open, the opportunity will open, that there will be people in Iran that have been closed to the gospel or persecuted for the gospel, that many now will be able to hear the gospel and come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Middle East needs the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So one of the things we're ought to pray for in there is that good will prevail over evil, and the gospel will go forth, and we'll hear story. I would tell you right now that I don't bet, but if I was a betting man, I can tell you right now, there's guys that are on the horizon right now praying about, thinking about, of trying to be a missionary to get into Iran. There are some places you cannot get into certain parts of the world unless you're putting your life at high risk and in high danger. Pray right now that God will raise up an army of missionaries that will flood into the Middle East, into that, and to be able to get the gospel wherever it can, that those that are there need to hear the opportunity to be saved, to have eternal life. Talks about another fruit of the Spirit here is faith, and then meekness, which is humbleness, and then temperance, which is self-control. So when you think about these fruit of the Spirit, you ask yourself, out of the 9 fruit of the Spirit, what are the most important? Well, they're all important. But if you will, as the branch, remain connected to the vine, then there's opportunity to allow God the Holy Spirit to begin to build and to nourish and to put these things as evidences into our Christian life. We find, go to Philippians chapter 4. We find as we grow in our character, as we grow in Christ, you know, it's so important that one of the distinctive marks of a Christian is that we grow and that we have a pattern of obedience in the Christian life. He says that Philippians chapter 4, and Paul wrote on this, he said in verse 8, and finally, brethren, he says here, and that whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul said, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Here he talks about truth, honesty, just, pure, lovely, a good report, things to think upon. You know what these are all? These are all character-building traits. He said in here, as you receive, as the branch is connected to the vine, you then have the ability to be to get the fruit of the Spirit, the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. You then can begin to see things that you can build in the Christian life that builds the Christian character in us as believers. Paul wrote it another way. You don't have to turn there, but Colossians 4, he said, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. He said over in 1 Peter 2, keeping your conversation honest when spoken against by evildoers, that they can see your good works, which will then glorify God. You know, good works is such an important thing. It's not for salvation, but good works after salvation, because as God builds in our life the fruit of the Spirit and our Christian character, the good works then should be evidence of that which has been changed in our heart and our lives. 2 Peter 1, we learned in Sunday school this morning, talking about how God has equipped us to be able to grow in our character. And if we've added to these our faith, we learned this morning about faith and adding to our faith virtue, and adding to virtue knowledge, adding to knowledge temperance, and to knowledge temperance, and then patience, and godliness, and kindness. It's a building block of the faith. If we'll do that, and then most of all charity, then we'll be faithful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the sequence of these 8 things in the Christian character that he gave us there in 2 Peter. If you look at it, as you select at least one of those 8 characteristics that you would want to add in your Christian life, and then figure out, you know, what steps can we take? It's kind of like the building blocks of the faith. I'd encourage you, take some time, spend it in 2 Peter, if you will, in chapter 1. Go to the book of Proverbs, if you will. We find that we need to continue, if you will, to grow in wisdom and knowledge that the Lord gives us, that our best days being today, no matter where you're at. You know, every once in a while, I remember being young, one day, was young, and wanting to think that if I could just get to this age, or if I could just get to 16, or if I could just get to 18, or if I could just get to 20. Now I'm looking at her on the other end of the spectrum and say, man, I told my son that he had a birthday this last week, and he turned 49, and I put in one of my texts to him. I said, Jeremy, I said, man, would it be sweet to be 49 again? And you know how he texted me back? He said, Dad, it'd be sweet to be 30 again. So when you look at it, you think about that no matter where you're at in the Christian life, young or old, anywhere in the middle, your best days are right now. Not because of some activity or not something we do or don't do. Days because you made a choice to connect the branch to the vine and accept Jesus Christ. Your best time is right now, right where you're at. The other day, you know, if you think about it, the other day the Golden Agers had a St. Patrick's Day get-together on Thursday, and incoming through the door was Bob Sabo. Bob's been a long-time member here for years. Bob now is at Waltonwood over here, and he came in the door, and I said, man, you look good. And I said, how old are you? And he said, 95. And he come walking in. Bruce Lego went by and picked him up, and he came and enjoyed the St. Patrick's Day dinner with us. And so I think about that, you know, and you realize our best days are right now today, even for Bob at 95. If you think about it, he's one step away, 1 foot away from going into eternity and to go to be with the Lord. I know probably listen to this live stream. Bob Wilcox listens to our live stream. And Bob, if he got his prayer request answered, the Lord would take him home right now, today. That's what he's praying for. He's told me that time and time again. I'm ready to go. I want to go. I want to go to heaven. Our best days are right now, and it's only going to get better from here on in. Why? Because the vine and the branch were connected here to the Lord Jesus Christ. So Proverbs is given to us so that we might grow in our wisdom. Let me show you some things here. Proverbs 2, and you kind of walk with me, if you will, through some of these verses here. Proverbs spends a lot of time talking about wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge or our experiences in life or insight with sound judgment. Many times we don't have that wisdom at a young age. We have it maybe as we go through the experiences of life, or we go gain more knowledge along the way. Here's how God put it in the Bible in Proverbs 2 and verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Look in chapter 3 right there, if you will. Proverbs 3, and you get down to verse 13, verse 14. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. So if you can gain wisdom, it's a lot better than the money that you have in the bank account. We find here then in chapter 9, look in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. You see it again on the importance of wisdom. Look in chapter 11, verse 2. Proverbs 11 and verse 2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Then over in chapter 24. That's why I've always said I think every young person, especially every new convert, especially teenagers and people early in their Christian life, ought to spend a lot of time in the book of Proverbs. Here in Proverbs chapter 24, and you get down to verse 13 and verse 14. My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul, and when thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectations shall not be cut off. You know, I think about that. I remember when the torch was being passed from David to Solomon, and David was the king of Israel, and Solomon was going to be the next king, and you remember that in his prayer, and God asked him what he desired or what he prayed for and what he wanted. You remember what his response was? And he went through there and he prayed for wisdom and an understanding heart to be able to know how to lead Israel coming in and going out. And so God gave to Solomon great wisdom and understanding. And not only so, because he didn't ask for it, God also then gave him great riches along the way. But God gave to Solomon great wisdom that he needed to be able to lead the nation of Israel. So what are the characteristics you think of godly wisdom? And you think about it, and as it's recorded in the Bible, go to James in the New Testament, and you look at James. There's a lot of places you could go to, but here in the book of James, chapter 3, you think about wisdom that he gives us here in James chapter 3, and you get down to verse 13, James 3 and verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of the good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above, the wisdom that God gives and from above, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So you look at it here, you find J. Oswald Sanders said, wisdom is more than knowledge, which really knowledge is the accumulation of facts. It is the right application of knowledge in moral and spiritual knowledge. So wisdom is to be able to take the knowledge you have, the experience of life, and to make the right choices in the Christian life. Look here, if you will, Philippians. Go to Philippians 3. I know we're in different places here in the Bible this morning, but I think all these are important for you to see. In the third chapter of Philippians, it talks about things of Paul's difference. And really, Paul gave us an example here of what the former attitudes were versus the new attitude that, you know, you once were lost and now you're saved. You're once without God and without Christ, and now you are coming to Christ. But notice what he says here. Paul gave us in verse chapter 3, Philippians 3, and verse 4, 5, 6, and 7. And this would be on Paul's talking about his former attitudes. He said, though I might also have this confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching a law concerning Pharisee, concerning zeal. And he said here, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. That would have been the old Paul. That would have been the old Saul. And notice now, beginning in verse 17, he says, or verse 7 here, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, here's how Paul sums it up. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Talking about the former, talking about then the future. So why would Paul have such a positive attitude about the future? If you think about it, he's taken really the principles of identifying with Christ. You talk about a change in his life of being able to connect the branch to the vine was a complete made a complete change in Paul's life. You know, Jesus in teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, we don't have time to go there today, but the Sermon on the Mount is in Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7. There's a lot of things going on there, a lot of things that Jesus taught, and one of the things he talked in there was the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's really recognizing one's own poverty in spiritual things. He talked about blessed are those who mourn, as really those that generally are sorry for their sin. You know, there's some people that will sin and do something against God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, or whatever, and not feel sorry about it, not feel guilty about it, not feel like, you know, like, you know, if you're saved, if you're a believer in Christ and you're the branch connected to the vine, then the Holy Spirit of God will reveal to you things that we do wrong. Blessed, and talks about there, blessed are those who mourn. We find there, for they shall be comforted. He also taught in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the meek, for they shall have strength under control. Blessed are those who hunger. You know, I think about that. Blessed are those who hunger. It's not a physical food. It's those that have a hunger for righteousness. It's a hunger for staying connected to Christ. It's a hunger for the strength that comes from the true vine of the Lord Jesus Christ. A hunger for righteousness and godly living. Blessed are those who hunger. The promise is, for they shall be filled. And then blessed are the merciful, those that have compassionate feelings toward others. Blessed are the pure in heart. You think about that today. Boy, we live in a society today that is morally corrupt. But blessed are the pure in heart, are those that are free from moral sin. You know, that's one thing that those that go before, you know, it's interesting when you read 2 Peter chapter 1, it's right, Peter was writing in there, won't be long, and I'm paraphrasing this, it won't be long, I'll be laying down this tabernacle, won't be long, and death will be coming, won't be long, this life, and you know what, he was right, because it wasn't long, he had just, these books, 1 and 2 Peter, was just written before Peter was crucified upside down. And so in that we find that blessed are the pure in heart, then they are free from moral sin. We find they shall see God. So the best is right now, today, wherever you're at in life, how to live your best life you're living is right now, at this very moment, in your life, no matter where you're at. Stay connected to Christ. Stay connected to the branch. We find blessed are the peacemakers. Boy, we need more of those that promotes peace by reconciling the world. You know, one of the things that's interesting that you see it unfolding in the Middle East right now, a lot of things, there's a lot of uncertainties and a lot of questions going on over there. And a lot of things that is peace through strength that they talk about. You know, if you look at it today, and what do they say? The only thing for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. Good men need to stand up all over the world and all over the nations around the world and try to do the good deeds and what's best for society and best for humanity, and peacemakers are the ones that can help to move that forward. Jesus taught a principle on the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers, because they will promote peace by reconciling others. And the promise is they shall be called the children of God. And then blessed are those that are persecuted for Christ's sake. Peter was. All the apostles were persecuted for the cause of Christ. You know, it's a sad thing. It really is. Even while all this was going on this week, did y'all see where they took three young men in Tehran and hung them in the public square? And one was, what, an Olympian, a wrestler, whatever. And I looked at, I saw pictures of those three. And you look at it, you talk about an evil society. You talk about a society where those that are in control or in authority will go out and persecute the people there. God ordained government as an ordained part of society. God ordained the family. God ordained government. And God ordained the church. Government is there for a purpose so that good will prevail over evil. And we just need to pray that through there that the light of the gospel can continue to shine around the world. We find here, you know, when you think about the Sermon on the Mount and these principles here, that which one of these eight above, you know, you might say, well, that you're the strongest in, or which one of these would you want to see improvement in? God desires that we be fruitful. God desires that we grow in our Christian character. God desires that we grow in our wisdom. God desires that we have changing attitudes. And boy, Paul, he had a changing attitude. And so when you think about it today, my friend, because you and I are the branch connected to the vine, and Jesus gave us that example in John chapter 15, that we today, because of our relationship in Jesus Christ, are living our best days right now, right this moment, right at this time. Make the most of it. Stay connected to Christ. He's the one that gives you a source of life. He's the one that gives you the energy you need. He's the one that gives you the strength you need. He's the one that gives you your moral compass that you need. He's the one that will help you navigate through this world and to realize that we can have a peace that passeth all understanding if you'll just be content giving your life to Christ, staying connected to Him, and don't separate yourself from the vine. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we love You. God, we thank You for the Word of God today. Thank You for the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ and how He taught a very relatable principle that He is the vine and we are His branches. And how important it is, God, that we stay connected to You for strength, for character, for understanding, for wisdom, for all things that Christ can give us, that the Holy Spirit can teach and impart unto us the fruit of the Spirit. God, help us not to get sidetracked. Help us not to get caught up in the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eye or the pride of life or the things that gets us away from the true vine. May we strongly stay connected to Christ, our Savior. And God, today, if there's anybody here that's not yet saved, that they would understand that You love them, You care for them, You desire that they would come to know You as personal Lord and Savior. God, help the believer today to stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Help the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in our Christian lives. Help us to always maintain our moral compass, our strength, our character, our integrity, all the things that are so important that the Lord Jesus can give to us and can teach us. In Jesus' name we pray with every head bowed. And my friend, if you're listening by way of live stream today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, this is an opportunity that you can do so right now. If you're here in the sanctuary and you say, Pastor, I don't know if I died today, if I'd go to heaven, I don't know that I'm connected to Christ like what you've been talking about. Well, you can be, as all you got to do is ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart. If you want to do that today, just pray this prayer right where you sit or right where you stand today. Just pray this. If you desire to be saved, to be born again, to be connected to Christ today, just pray this right where you sit. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess my sin before You. And God, today I repent of my sin. And I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart and to save my lost soul. Today, God, I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for eternal life. And God, from this day forward, I want to do my best to stay connected to the true vine that not only gives me eternal life, but a better way to live and a better way to walk and a better way to serve. And God, I thank You for my salvation today. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's stand together, if you will, today, my friend. If you prayed that prayer today, we'd love to pray with you, love to talk with you, love to help you in any way that we can. But today, don't let yourself become distant from the vine. Stay connected. Have a better, closer walk with the Lord, a closer, intimate fellowship with Christ, to know Him and to know Him better and more, that the fruit of the Spirit can be evident in our lives. Brother Ron, if you would. The altar is open.
Come.
If you want to come to pray, we invite you to come. If I would like to pray with you, whatever God would
like. Trust Him, only trust Him, only.
God's people said? Amen. Stay connected to the true vine. We are the branches. He is the vine. Stay connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible simply teaches that without Him, you can do nothing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, today we love you. Thank you for the Word of God today. Thank you for John chapter 15, things that Jesus taught and principles that He gave here in this world, in this life today. And so God, may we learn to live by them. We look forward to the soon return of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we'll be able to see Him face to face. And God, just be with the prayer request today. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great afternoon.